Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again. Believe in a power greater than what you are going through. When you don't know what to do, keep breathing.
That's right, when you don't know what to do, just keep on breathing. From the City of Angels in Los Angeles, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver at CaregiverDave.com, along with my lovely co-host, former mayor of a California beach town and best-selling author, Debbie Peterson. And we're also coming to you live and on demand 24/7 on numerous syndicated radio and podcast networks on 26 global audio and video platforms like iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo, Stitcher Radio, Blog Talk Radio, oh, and the list goes on and on. In fact, we are proud to be voted number one caregiver podcast on FeedSpot out of thousands and number one caregiver podcast of the top 50 on Player FM. And we have an especially exciting show planned for you today. It's about forgiveness, the power of forgiving self and others for caregivers. Catherine Uzzalo is a very forthright and enterprising woman who never gives room for failure. He's a reputable philanthropist whose generosity has greatly impacted people's lives at home and abroad. He's a proven woman of faith. He's from Nigeria and was born in Kano State. And before we get going, I do want to take this moment to thank my last week's guest, Terrence Harge, an entrepreneur, speech therapist, author, husband, and father. He runs homes for adults with developmental disabilities and has extensive experience hiring and working with a variety of agencies. And just a reminder, you can watch or listen to that interview, along with all our other interviews, including this one here, on CaregiverDave.com or any of our other 26 global audio and video platforms that I mentioned earlier. Okay, enough of that. Catherine, so great to have you on the Caregiver Dave show.
Thank you.
Hey, I always like to ask my guests just who is Catherine Uzzalo and why was she placed on this earth?
Well, this is Catherine Uzzalo. I am placed on this earth to do the job that my father has asked me to come to do, that is loving, caring, and representing him on earth. I always pray and I ask the Lord, let the world see you through me. And how can they see him through me? By the way I live, my style of living, and the things that comes out of my mouth. I am a Christian, and I'm here today talking about forgiveness for well-being.
Forgiveness is very important. I always say, if you are not forgiving someone, you're drinking poison and hoping the other person dies, because all of that stuff will never reach that person who you're trying to punish. It only turns around and hurts yourself. Or rots the bones, it gives you ulcers, gives you cancer. Would you agree?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so how did you become a forgiveness coach of all things?
Okay, well, my journey into becoming a forgiveness coach has been deeply rooted in my upbringing and personal experience. My parents are devoted Christians. May their soul rest in peace. They instilled in me and my siblings the importance of forgiveness from a very, very young age. You know, when we used to go to church, we're raised as Catholics. We go to church on Saturday evenings and we go for confession. So when we come back from the confession, our parents will say, oh, you were before the priest today? And we'll say, yes. So you confessed your sins? Yes. The ones we know and the ones we do not know, we say yes. And one question my dad will always ask is, so have you also forgiven those that offended you in school? Maybe the ones that took your pencil without telling you, the ones that tripped you while you were playing games. Have you forgiven them? We're like, yes, we have. And he's like, okay, that is nice. And all of this is based on the word of God in the book of Matthew and in our Lord's Prayer that says, Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So we already set ourselves up to not have a choice, but forgive because we want the Lord to also forgive us. So that is the background that I have. And growing up, I became a member of the St. Vincent de Paul Society of the Catholic Church. And that organization is strictly rooted on, and it is focused on helping those that are in need, those that, when we say need, need of any kind. And all we do is foster compassion, empathy within communities. There is no discrimination. It doesn't mean whether you're a Christian or a Muslim or a pagan, whosoever comes for help is being helped. Mm-hmm. So that organization itself, other than my parents, helped instill this whole thing about forgiveness in my life. And as I grew up, from my own personal experience, I realized unforgiveness is poison. And if I can shake it off, anyone can do.
Now, let me ask you a personal question. Has sure. there been something really big in your life that you struggled to forgive someone for, even though you're a forgiveness coach, that helped you to say, I need to spread this forgiveness doctrine to the world? Or not?
Oh, yes. I've had a situation where a best friend of mine was the only one that knew that I was ill. And I did not want anybody else to know that I was ill, because then I had huge fibroids and I did not look sick. So some other person had asked her, Catherine is glowing. She's looking like beautiful all the time we see her. And this friend of mine said, she just looks beautiful, but she's sick. She has this going on. And eventually I got to know, from the environment I came from, being a Nigerian, there are some things we just don't say.
Mm.
That is because very few people understand that fibroid is not a communicable disease. Fibroid is not some kind of illness that is related to you being promiscuous or not, or maybe that would lead to barrenness or not. But because of the misunderstanding of what fibroids are until date, I wanted to keep it to myself and just the doctor and my immediate family. But now she put it out there and gave a different impression to other people of who I am. It took me time, because I really, really love her. We're still best of friends anyways. And I had to call her at a point in time, because I knew I was bitter, I was unhappy, but she didn't know why I was unhappy. So that is the issue of drinking poison. I was bitter, unhappy, but she was living her life happy, not knowing what was going on with me. So I said, no.
What is the illness again? I didn't understand.
Fibroids. Uterine fibroids.
Uterine fibroids. You know what that is, Debbie?
Yeah, I do, being a woman. It's when it's often when you have scar tissue, but sometimes I think they're spontaneous, that strands of fiber band together, and they band across your organs and they cause problems. I have had several abdominal surgeries, and I have had fibroids. They can be scar tissue that had to be removed because they were blocking my bowel. So it can be quite serious, and it can impact fertility. And but yeah, they're certainly not maybe genetic. I don't even know, but they're certainly not contagious or associated with any kind of misbehavior on your part.
Yeah. So you're telling the world now, apparently you don't care anymore, huh?
Oh, sure. So, and that was what happened. I called her and I told her, and she said that she was sorry. She did not mean it in a bad way. That's and all of that. And that was it. So we moved on. And like I said, we're still best friends as today.
Were you a forgiveness coach up till that point or no?
No, as at then, I wasn't a coach. As at then, what I was doing was using what was instilled in me from my parents, the church, and St. Vincent de Paul Society that I belong to.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing the word of God itself.
So was your best friend Nigerian? Did she understand your the cultural issue involved with your privacy?
Yes.
Huh, interesting.
So some people say, hey, forgive and forget. And the other person will say, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. How would you define forgiveness? What is forgiveness and what is not forgiveness?
Okay. Forgiveness is letting go of resentment and anger towards oneself or others, especially in the content when we're talking about caregiving right now. Forgiveness is important for personal well-being, and it relieves that negative emotions that is built within you. It reduces stress and it fosters emotional resilience. So forgiveness for me is allowing yourself to breathe, allowing yourself to enjoy life, allowing yourself to go to bed and sleeping well. Forgiveness is the breath of life. It keeps you going. But forgetting the aspect of forgetting, in all honesty, I don't see that happening, because if we have to forget, to be honest, how do we use what has happened to us as a reference point for forgiveness? Yeah. I see forgetting as, though you have forgiven, whatever has happened to you, you do not use it to prevent what is going to happen to a good thing that is coming your way the next time. Forgetting is not about forgetting everything that happened to you. No, forgetting for me is the fact that you have forgiven and you are not allowing the issue to hurt you anymore or using it against any other person.
So you would say then, maybe, and correct me if I'm not getting it right, but you would say that forgetting is forgetting your resentment and your bitterness, or maybe not even forgetting, but letting go of.
Yeah. Letting go of that, but not that you forgot the issue. No, mm-hmm. That is why we have memory. We're not erasing our memories. It's just that we're not letting anything negative that has happened to us in the past determine our future.
You know, the Bible talks about forgiveness because it says, if we don't forgive others, then he won't forgive us.
Yes.
And he tells a story about the man who was forgiven a huge debt, then turned around and forced his his associate to pay back and threw him in prison because he wouldn't. And when they found out, they threw him in prison. And even the book of Isaiah says, as far as the east is from the west, so far is God's forgiveness, you know, and separation of the sin. And one other person told me, it's like throwing all of your sins in the ocean, in the deepest ocean, and putting up a sign that says no fishing.
No fishing.
And theoretically, you know, if you keep going back to God, asking forgiveness of this sin that you already asked forgiveness for, it's like if he really forgave you, he'd be saying, what sin? You know, because he forgot about it. And we should do likewise. You know, I'm a very forgiving person. And when people wrong me, I don't even think about it. I don't remember it. They have to come back to me, you know, maybe months later and say, hey, I'm sorry I did this. And it's been what? You know, and I really tell them, I didn't know that you offended me. I'm sorry. But thank you for apologizing. And if the whole world was just so forgiving, you know, we live in such where everybody's so sensitive. We often walk on eggshells and you're so, you know, have to be aware of offending so many different people. And the list is just getting very, very much too long. You know, don't you agree, Deb?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had an interesting experience with forgiveness. I went to a conference with people who I'd gone to high school and college with, and I won't go into the details in case they're listening, but but I had a situation with someone where I had not forgiven them. I still held, I don't know how, you know, it was just an old unforgiveness. I'm not going to say how powerful it was, but what I will say is, sitting in church one day, I suddenly realized that person who had wronged me, in my opinion, was just a human being and doing the best that she could.
Yes.
And I, you know, I discovered that about my parents too. At some point, I realized they really did the best they could. And there's no point in harboring, you know, resentment towards them for what they didn't do with an intent to hurt me.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, I just let it go with this person. And I was sitting in church and I had the most, I can feel it again when I talk about it. It's as if this huge weight was lifted off my shoulders, as if it just flew away and I was elevated. I felt it, you know, as if I was rising because it was an incredible physical experience. You know, the impact it had on me to forgive her for not being the person I needed her to be perhaps at that time.
Yeah.
Yes, and even in the book of Matthew, remember Peter also asked Jesus, like, how many times do they need to forgive? And Jesus said 70 times, seven times. That is almost saying uncountable times, you mm-hmm. know? So sometimes
in
people
other words, people are going to do you wrong.
Yes.
So forgive them.
I consider myself a good Christian, maybe even a great Christian. But I have people who keep offending me with the same thing, and they're a relative. And I think 10 was my limit. After 10, I says, that's it. I'm not forgiving you anymore. And of course, you know, my words convict me.
Yeah, I have this friend who her, she used to have a lot of issue with her family. I know the family. I mean, we're like family and their siblings. And at a point in time, one of them said, Catherine, you know what? Right now, I'm not going to be talking to you anymore. I'm like, why? What have I done wrong? Every time you come, you try to reconcile us. And once you reconcile us, we are back together. Then the next thing, same thing is done to me again. And I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm like, okay, but you don't want to talk to me anymore? She said, yes, well, you know, I love you, but I don't want to talk to you because you're going to drag me into that again. And that is where I talk about issue of, though you have forgiven, it doesn't mean that you are condoning. Because a lot of people see, okay, because you have forgiven them, they can come back and do the same thing. The question is, I don't know if they realize what they're doing. I don't know if it's deliberate. Or is it that they don't just care? Because for me, if they have empathy, then they should understand not to repeat it. But forgiveness is not condoning. And that is where we have to be able to draw the line, even when we forgive.
Yep, so true. And, you know, we can forgive others, but sometimes it's really hard to forgive ourselves. Very hard. any examples of that from either one of you?
Forgiving self is really important, especially for caregivers. Caregivers can begin to forgive themselves by acknowledging their humanity, accepting their imperfections, and recognizing the challenges they face. Because they're human beings, so naturally they have to learn to forgive themselves because they're going to make mistakes. I'll give an example. You're caring for somebody and something happens and you yell at that person. Your intention is not to yell. There's a possibility that it's even a carryover from something else that you're going through and something just happens and you yell at the person you're caring for. The most important thing is first apologize. And after you apologize, take your time. Do a self-talk. Self-compassion. It is very important. And remind yourself that I am just human.
Yeah.
And I have a tendency of making mistakes. I am just human. Then begin to talk to yourself. Begin to show yourself self-love. Begin to meditate. Understanding that you are human and you are not perfect. But the number one thing is first, apologize to whom you have yelled at or whatever way you have done wrong. Then remember that you are human and accepting your imperfection so that you begin to show yourself love and forgiving yourself. Because you need to forgive yourself to be able to forgive others. The Bible says, love yourself. I mean, love others as you love yourself. Not right. Love yourself as you love others. No, it has to be from you first. Until you begin to learn to forgive yourself, strengthen yourself, it's actually hard to forgive others.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people are setting themselves up for failure with unforgiveness by simply not having healthy boundaries in their life. Can you explain that?
Yes. Like I just gave an example of the lady that said, I'm not talking to you anymore because anytime you bring us together, we settle and it's repeated. As a caregiver, you have to set your boundaries. And when you set those boundaries, healthy boundaries are the things you're supposed to set. And they have to be very clear. You have to communicate them well. And you have to explain.
And the consequences needs. If they break them.
Yes, the needs, the expectations, and the consequences if they don't go by those rules and regulations. When you're able to set those and understand the approach, as long as they are not harmful, and make them understand that if there's a harmful behavior, then they have crossed the line. Set all these things up so that the person you're caring for will understand. But if you don't say anything, sometimes they will cross that boundaries.
Yeah, so what should your friend have done to communicate boundaries to that person? And then when he crossed that boundary, like the second or third time, she would have said what? And it wouldn't be unforgiveness, would it?
Yes, we had that conversation with her, and she said she already set her boundaries, and she told me the boundaries that she set, and I looked at the boundaries, and honestly, they're real, genuine boundaries. They are very, very real boundaries, nothing too much, but she said they crossed the line over 3 times, and because it's becoming unhealthy and becoming toxic relationship for her, that she has forgiven, but she will definitely love them from a distance.
Yeah. How to communicate to someone that, you know what, I love you, I forgive you, but this relationship is no longer good for me. That almost sounds like hypocritical. How will the other person interpret that when you say, I love you, I forgive you, but stop calling me? I mean, how do you do that?
Actually, some people will do that and say, I love you, I forgive you, but stop calling me. I would. usually, in situations like that, you let the people know that, okay, whosoever is the offender, that is the whosoever is the one that is bringing all these issues up, you, because they will come to you as well. You let them know that, give this person a break. This is how they feel at this moment. But give them a break. Give them some space so that they can heal. As they heal, they'll be able to get back to answering your calls and relating again with you. Because the mistake we make sometimes is the fact that I have asked you to forgive me after offending you, you should just do it right away. But we are different human beings.
And at the same time,
we manage it differently. So if this person is saying, I'm forgiving you, please don't call me, and that is okay. I want that person that has spoken, you that is offended, you have spoken your mind, that is true. But the advice I will give to such person is begin to practice mindfulness. Begin to meditate. Meditate on the word. Begin to practice self-love. Begin to have empathy all over again. And when you begin to practice that, after some time, you feel that you are relieved. You feel that lifting of that weight from you. And sometimes, funny enough, you that said, don't call me again, you find yourself calling that person, reaching out to the person and telling the person, you know what, I took it too far.
Yeah, I have a cousin like that. You know, he's a drug addict. And he's always quitting and going back, quitting, going back. And so I will let time pass, you know, maybe a few months, and then I'll call him up because I miss him and I'm wondering, is he doing well? You know, and I'll call him up and I can tell from his voice and what he says if he's on it or off it, you know. And so I do love him and I do check back with him, but I've communicated very clearly to him that I will not tolerate a relationship while you are on drugs or while you act like you're on drugs and so on. Anything to say about that, Debbie? You got any other questions? We're running out of time. Got about 10 minutes to go.
Yeah, no, I think it's all very, I really appreciate the conversation about boundaries. And I think one of the things for me personally about boundaries is I feel guilty sometimes about setting boundaries. And so I need to learn to forgive myself for needing boundaries. So I appreciate your comments
on
the boundary side of it. Yes, we do. Yeah. And we need to be honest with ourselves about that and forgive ourselves for not. And I guess that's probably true of people who are caregivers. You need to be able to allow yourself not to be 100% or more available for self-care.
And it's a loved one often that is the offender of boundaries. You know, if you have a loved one and you're taking care of them, whether maybe it's a mother, because mothers are really bad at that, because in their eyes you'll always be that little kid, that little irresponsible kid who, you know, can't find a job, can't find a man or whatever, and they'll keep bringing it up and they'll keep doing the I told you so dance.
I told you so.
And it's hard to forgive those, so they are good candidates for boundaries. Mom, I love you. We'll talk about anything else, but do not talk about my love life or my career, and we'll get along just fine. And when they bring it, and if you do this, then, you know, I'm just going to go away for a day. You know, you won't hear from me. If you do it again, I'll go away for a week.
Or 2 days.
You know, whatever. You know, just be creative, right?
Well, and I like the fact that you're both laughing about it. One of the things that my family does so well is we're able to laugh at, we dark humor. We're able to laugh at the things that are difficult, and it lightens the load. So I think even to be creative about it, for instance, with my mother, similar situation, she was watching too much news. She was recuperating from an illness, and her therapist actually said, her physical therapist said, you need to do an intervention with your mom. She's hurting herself by watching nothing but the news all the time, and it's too negative. And so we actually made a joke of it, and we set some boundaries for her. And we said, Mom, we're going to do an intervention. Do you want us to do an intervention? It's going to be really embarrassing. And of course, she laughed and we laughed and she quit. So she quit watching the news.
My aunt needs to quit watching the news because it just drives her crazy.
But I love the humorous side of when you can be funny about it, when you can laugh at it and yourselves, then I think it helps sometimes.
Yeah. Yes, it does. It does. And especially when it comes to self, forgiving self, there are situations where it kind of take a longer time when it comes to forgiving self. Mm-hmm. Because I remember when my father passed and I was in a different state. I was in the northern part of Nigeria and he was in the south, because we all were born and raised in the north, but we're from the south. So when he retired from his civil service work, he went back to the south. So he passed and we were in the north. As much as I loved my dad, as much as I always cared for him, made sure he had his medication, spent time with him as much as possible, when he passed, because I wasn't there, I felt guilty for so long. Or maybe if I had gone, maybe if I had done this, maybe if I had called him that, you know, all of that went on for a long time before, to God be the glory, talking to my priests, going to church, and my friends calling me and talking to me like, Katmi, you did your best. Everybody knows you took care of your dad. Just focus on the good times. And eventually, I had to let it go. So it is important, because if we're not able to forgive self and move on, we'll not be able to forgive others. We'll not be able to achieve anything that we want to. We're broken from inside. So we need it to to forgive
and
self.
For some, in some ways, it's almost as if you were perhaps hanging on to it because you didn't want to let your father go either.
Yes, I never wanted him to.
You, if you let go of it, then he, you let him go too.
Yes.
Well, Catherine, I can't believe how fast this time has gone. Is there one last thing that you want to share before we wrap it up?
I'll say to every caregiver, remember you are human. Remember that whatever happens, you're going to do something wrong and somebody is going to do something wrong to you. But be deliberate in forgiving. Be very conscious of the fact that you are going to forgive even before it is done. Make up your mind that this is my new life. This is what I'm going to be living for. I will forgive. No more drinking poison of unforgiveness. I like my well-being. I want to be happy. And I also want people to see Christ through me. And the only way I can do that is learn to forgive. It's a gradual process, but you can do it. And everyone can do it.
In California, the challenge is driving and then running into a motorist who is really rude and honks the horn at you just because you're going like 3 miles below the speed limit. And, you know, you got to just remember that people are going to offend you, have an attitude of forgiveness before it even happens. And I'm good at that. You know, some drivers will retaliate. They'll use a finger to communicate back to this driver. Not me. I just wave and say, hey, how you doing?
That's nice.
All right. Debbie, how can, well, let me ask you, Catherine, first. How can listeners reach you, get a hold of you, get a hold of your book? Oh, we didn't talk about your book. What's the name of your book?
The name of, I have two books. One is already on Amazon. It's called I Am Me. And I Am Me, Rebuilding Self-Esteem from Inside.
Okay.
And the next one coming up now is Forgiveness for Well-Being. So
does it have a subtitle?
A subtitle for the Forgiveness for Well-Being. I'm going to read it out to you right now. And it is, give me a second, because that is really important. It is the power of forgiving self and others for caregivers.
I love it.
The power of forgiving self and others for caregivers.
That's great. And that just got birthed today, just before the show. Awesome. All right. You have an email? Or how do you want to get hold of you?
MOISINATURALS@gmail.com.
And what does that spell?
MOISINATURALS@gmail.com.
MOISINATURALS. What does that mean?
Moisi actually means I have God.
Okay.
So, and Moisi Naturals is the name of my business.
So, and Moisi is
M-O-I-S-I.
M-O-I-S-I, and then Naturals.
Naturals.
N-A-T-U-R-A-L-S. A-L-S.
Yes.
Right?
That's com. Okay. Yes, and the website is www.moisinaturals.com.
Okay. And Debbie, how can people get a hold of you to find out more about what you do?
I have lots of books on Amazon, and that is my Integrity 101 series with Debbie Peterson. And you can reach me at mayordebbie.com.
And you have a book about Taylor Swift, don't you?
Well, I do. Yes, it's available electronic version right now, and it's the Leadership Secrets of Taylor Swift. And that's because I want to encourage young women to take leadership, and she's a fabulous role model.
She definitely has it under control. Well, my number one best-selling book, Secrets from the Hammock: Uncommon Wisdom for Uncommon Times, is spreading wisdom all over the world. It's available wherever books are sold, and also on my free membership website, caregiverdave.com, where you can also schedule a free 30-minute initial coaching call. Talk about whatever you're struggling with. Only takes 30 minutes of wisdom to resolve a problem caregiverdave.com. And also, I invite you all to come to my Facebook group, Caregiver Dave, 34,000 Caregivers, a support group, lots of tools, resources, videos, this radio show, and much, much more. And hey, if you click the like or follow button, whatever your platform that you're watching or listening to this interview on, it helps us reach even more caregivers by improving Google search engine algorithms. So again, thank you to all my listeners and my guests, my co-hosts all over the world for tuning in every Wednesday and making us the number one caregiver podcast and radio show on the internet. So until next week, same time, same channel. May God richly bless you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey guys, it's Dave Nassani, otherwise known as the Caregiver's Caregiver. Now, I realize that 30% of caregivers actually die before their loved ones do. 40% of Alzheimer's caregivers die before their loved ones do. And 70% of caregivers who are over the age of 70 die before their loved ones do. And so I've developed a caregiver training, mastermind, and wellness retreat in beautiful Acapulco, in one of the safest places on earth, right next door to Carlos Slim, the richest man in Mexico. It's an 8-bedroom villa. And it is included all the food, breakfast, lunch, dinner, all the drinks. Sometimes a caregiver just needs a margarita. This event is guaranteed to fix burnout. It is on June 16th through 23rd. And if you go to caregiverdave.com, you can click the Acapulco link and it'll tell you all about it. My cell phone number is there. Please call me with any questions you have because I want to see you in Acapulco.
Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again.